Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Man, what an amazing time of worship. It just feels good to be home. Amen. Amen. I know it's always great to be on vacation, but it's just great to be back home and just so thankful for each and every one of you. I see some new faces, people that I've not had the privilege of meeting yet, and so just welcome to the Lifeway. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here. Just so thankful, so grateful that you are here with us this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements before we jump into the message. This is the last day. Those of you that have musical abilities, musical talents, we are having a worship team audition night tomorrow evening, and so if that's something that you'd be interested in, text the word audition to 414-310-7650, and we will be reaching out to you actually probably this evening and get things scheduled with you. So if that's something you're interested, do that. We have openings at really in every part of the team, and I know you see this, which, by the way, isn't this band amazing? Man, they are so great. They work so hard. They allow me to be a part of it. But listen, all of these guys serve faithfully every single week. They're here. They're the first ones here at 7:30 in the morning on Sundays. They're at rehearsal almost every single Thursday. And so if you've got the ability, I know that some of them would like a break every once in a while. And so I would love for you to jump in, kind of try that out. Also, I want to give a special, just a quick announcement. Next week, Sunday the 30th, if you're here and you serve on the Dream Team, let me see your hand. Wave your hand really high. Those of you that serve on the Dream Team, all right. Most of them that are serving are out and about and in kids ministry, but next Sunday night we are having our team night that will be held at the Lifeway HQ building. And so, hey, want to see all of you there. We're gonna have Kidsway, we're not gonna have Kidsway. We're gonna have childcare available so that Kidsway workers will be able to enjoy what we're doing. We're gonna pack that place out. We're gonna worship together. I've got a word from the Lord for those of you on the Dream Team, and I'm just telling you, you're gonna be disappointed if you miss it. So if you are not out of town on vacation or something like that, we look forward to seeing those of you that serve on the Dream Team next Sunday night at our Lifeway HQ building. Well, one of the things we do every Sunday morning is we give a big welcome to all those who listen to our messages online, and so let's just give them a big welcome. We appreciate our online audience, and we love you and so thankful for you. Well, today we are starting a new series. We have not done anything like this in the 4.5 years that we have been a church, but this new series is entitled 1 Minute After You Die. 1 Minute After You Die. How many of you would say, you know what, I don't really like thinking or talking about death? Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, wave them high. Wave them high, all right? That's probably 65-70% of us that are in this room. This topic occasionally will come up in our family. Actually with Shyla and I, it's not usually dinner time discussion, but usually Shyla and I, as we're talking, and I'll tell her, all right, we've got these insurance policies are all in place, and if this happens, this is, you need to go, you know, buy a condo so you don't have to worry about the yard, and, you know, they take care of all the outside, this is what you need to do. You know, I start giving her, you know, these are where our accounts are at, this is how this all should happen, and then she typically, her typical response is, I can't do all of that. That's your job. I can't do all of that. And then, you know, the subject just gets changed. How many of you, like, know what I'm talking about? We're just going to change the subject. Oh, how's the weather today? You know, it's typically how it goes with us. And so I want to start by sharing a truth, though, that most of you probably have never thought about. And that is, you don't really ever die. Now, some of you are probably thinking, wait, what? Did Pastor Andrew go on vacation and lose his mind? Probably did. I probably didn't have it before I left. Still didn't get it while I was gone. But listen, should Jesus not yet return in the rapture, at some point, all of our physical bodies are going to pass away. But here's what's important. I want you to understand this. Our soul, our spirit man will never cease to exist. All of us in this room, we will live eternally somewhere. And so in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, if you've got your sermon outline, there's a lot of scriptures today. Go ahead, pull that out. I encourage you to follow along with us, take some notes. But it tells us this. It says, "For we know that when this earthly tent," now this phrase here, earthly tent, is simply a metaphor for our bodies. And so we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, isn't that such a poetic way to say you died, you know? When this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Verse 2, we grow weary in our present bodies. Anybody here say amen to that? Anybody here ever grow weary in your present body? Like, God, I just can't seem to take another day. The pressure at work, the pressure at home, all the things I'm trying to get done. And it says we grow weary in our present body and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies, we will not be spirits without bodies. And while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan, we sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. In other words, they'll be swallowed up by the eternal. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. Verse 6, so we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. Listen, even though you come into a service like this and feel Jesus, and even though in your devotion time God will speak to you, we are not yet at home with the Lord. Verse 7, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Verse 8, watch this again. Yes, we are fully confident. Come on, somebody say, we are fully confident. Come on, somebody needs to say it like they are. We are fully confident, right? And we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Another translation of this same verse we just read says to be absent from our bodies is to be present with the Lord. And so what is our goal then? Why are we even here? Why do we exist? And so what we do have an assignment here in our earthly bodies. In verse 9, it tells us, so whether we are here in this body or we are away from this body, our goal is, now I want you to watch this, our goal is to accumulate lots of money. Our goal is to become YouTube famous. Our goal is to get a record number of likes on our last Instagram post using the perfect filter and the perfect hashtags and the perfect captions, right? Our goal is new granite countertops in the kitchen. Some ladies say, yeah, man, that would be awesome, right? Our goal is to climb the corporate ladder. Our goal is to save $1 million or more for retirement. Our goal is for our children to be star athletes. No. It's none of that stuff. It's none of that. Our goal is to please him. Everybody say, please him. Turn to your neighbor and say, my goal is to please him. We please Christ. How do we do that? By being involved in his mission. We please Christ by doing his will, by serving and participating in things that make an eternal difference. And while many don't like to think about the topic of death, it's really essential that we talk about it, because Ecclesiastes 7:4 tells us a wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. Let me pause. How much time did you spend this week preparing for what you were going to do on the weekend to have a good time? Versus how much time did you spend thinking about eternity? And a wise person thinks a lot about death, because this is the first blank in your outline. This is so important, because what you believe about eternity will determine how you live today. What you believe about eternity will determine how you live today. If you believe that you are simply an accident and that there is no God and therefore there is no eternity, then this is what's going to happen. You are going to live a selfish life. You are going to be driven for pleasure and for all the pursuits of this world. Your decisions will revolve around the right here and the right now. But on the other hand, if you believe that you are created by a God and that you were created by God for His glory and that you will live somewhere eternally, listen, your choices are going to look completely different. You will spend your time serving others. You will invest in things that have eternal value. So what we believe about eternity determines how we live our lives today. And so I want to lay a foundation for this series here this morning and talk about three things that occur after this life is done. The first one is pretty obvious, but I just wanted to put that in there because sometimes when I miss the obvious things, people come and say, hey, Andrew, you kind of missed this. So number one, our physical bodies die. Our physical bodies die. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and just as each person is destined to die once. Now, I just want to pause here for a moment. I want to make sure that you understand this fact. According to studies, researchers have concluded that 100% of people die. They spent a lot of money on that study, too. I remember was working in Key West, Florida, and we would have the AM station on in Key West. Jim, I don't know if you remember this, but they had a station where people would call on and they would sell whatever they're trying to get rid of in their house. This was before, you know, Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. And so, you know, you'd get on and people would sell stuff. But they used to play this song that was called You're Still Gonna Die. Anybody ever heard that song? Kind of like a folksy. It was like, you're still gonna die. You're still gonna die. Uncle Scott, this is for you. Eliminate everything fatty and fried, but you're still gonna die. All right. I love Uncle Scott. He teaches, for those of you that are guests here, he teaches our health and wellness life groups. Amazing, amazing stuff. Listen, take care of your bodies. We always give him a hard time. Listen, one day, we all are going to die. We are destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. Verse 28. So also Christ was offered up once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for Him. Let me ask you, are you eagerly waiting for Him? Christ is going to appear a second time, not to bear the price of sin, but to bring salvation to those of us who are looking forward to His return. And so once we breathe our last breath, our physical bodies will die. The second thing that happens, number two, is our soul will separate from our physical body. And so while our physical bodies stay behind, our soul continues to live on. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10. He said, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Watch this. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so in other words, we don't need to fear people. We don't need to fear the things that people do to us. But we should live in a reverent fear of God, because when our body ceases to exist, our soul is going to live on. And so one day, should the Lord tarry, should He not return, your funeral will occur. And after all the nice words are said and they lower your casket into the ground, if that's what your burial choice is, you will never be more alive than you are at that moment, because your soul is going to be set free from this broken and hurting world. Jesus, he illustrated this truth in the Gospel of John when he was talking to Martha, who was incredibly upset because Lazarus, her dear brother, had passed away. And so they had called for Jesus, but Jesus didn't get there in time. And so when Jesus arrived on the scene, he had already been dead, Scripture tells us, for 4 days. Now we don't read out of the King James very much, but I love how the King James Version, it's so proper, it's so eloquent, it beautifully describes this situation. It says, by this time he stinketh. It didn't say stinky. King James said it stinketh. It was rank frank, like as my wife says, right? But Jesus said to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Amen. And so everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Let me ask you, do you believe this, John Tay? Do you believe this, Craig? Do you believe this? There is life after death on this earth. And the Bible isn't clear on all the details of what happens to the souls of those who follow Jesus right after they pass away. But as we read from the Apostle Paul, as we read from the Apostle Paul a few minutes ago, we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we know that both of the guilty criminals who were crucified on the left and right hand side of Jesus, both of them needed forgiveness. And one of them cried out, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Now I want you to watch this. Affixed to a cross where this criminal hung, there was nothing that this man could have done. It was only by the grace of God. And Jesus replied, he says, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. While scholars argue and people go back and forth, we're not completely certain what paradise is. I can assure you that it is way better than this earthly life. Amen. And so Paul, he wrestles with this in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. He said, I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die. For to me, watch this, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ, so I don't really know which one is better. I'm torn between these two desires. I long to go on to be with my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which would be far better for me. I'm torn. I really want to be with Jesus, but I know that he's using me to make a difference in this world. And so what happens 1 minute after we die? Our physical bodies die. Our soul continues to live and it separates it from the physical body. And then at some point, number three, we will all face judgment. We will all face judgment. You're like, man, I picked the wrong Sunday to go to church. 1 Peter 1:17 says, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. I just love this. This isn't part of the message, but I just love that, right? That no matter what, he has no favorites. He loves each and every one of us equally. And watch this. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary. Everybody say temporary. Residents. I want you to understand, this world is not your home. We used to sing the song, we're just passing through. The scope of our life here on earth is just a blink of an eye in comparison to eternity. And at the end of this life, we are going to be judged or we will be rewarded. Now scripture tells us about two distinct judgments. And I want to kind of teach on this just for a little bit. The first one is called, number one, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Most Bible scholars believe that the Great White Throne Judgment is only for non-believers. I tend to kind of agree with that as well. The Apostle John was given a vision by the Holy Spirit of things that were to come at the end of days. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11, he records what God showed him. And he writes this, he says, I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. This is what I want you to pay attention to. Verse 15, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, we're going to talk about the lake of fire next week. I probably shouldn't have said that because some of you may not come back. But it's a lot of questions about that. We're going to teach about that next week. But what I want to focus on the good news, and that is the book of life. the book of life, because we know that Jesus, he was the Son of God. He was born without sin. He was slain for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus Christ died paying the debt that you and I deserve to pay. And so when we recognize our need for a Savior, and when we call out on the grace of Jesus, we are saved not by the things that we do. We're not saved by works. We are saved by our faith in him. And so when you call out to him, Scripture tells us that our name is written in a book, and it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And so when your name is in his book, you are his child. You are an heir to his kingdom. And so if he looks in that book and your name is not in there, Scripture tells us that our next move, our next place of residence, is not a place that we are going to enjoy very much. And so to me, one of the most sobering and one of the most challenging passages in all of the Bible is Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus writes this. He says this: "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name." And, you know, let me just bring it to today's vernacular. We might say, well, God, I love you. You know, I show up to church once or twice a month. You know, I even throw a little something in the offering. You know, I give to the guy ringing the bell at Christmas time. I was nice to people. I'm better than a lot of the religious hypocrites that are out there. Lord, I tried really hard. Then in verse 23, Jesus says, "I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." In other words, we weren't in a right relationship with him. We weren't investing our time. We weren't investing in doing his will, which is being the hands and the feet of Jesus, serving others, leading others towards him. There are two judgments. The first is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. And so this morning I want to ask this question: is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? The second judgment is called this, number two. It's the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, the passage in Corinthians that we read to open up this sermon, was actually written to believers. This was written to people who were already saved. And so he's writing to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 5:10 is what immediately follows the verse we read a few minutes ago about our goal being to please God. I want you to watch this. It says, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil that we have done in this earthly body." And so this standing before Christ for judgment in this verse comes from a Greek word called bima. And bima is a word that's used to describe a piece of furniture that was used in the ancient Greek Olympics. And what would happen is after an event would complete, the participants and the winners would all come before the officials, who would be standing, or they would be sitting on the bima. And so what the bima was where the awards or the prizes to the athletes would be handed out for first, second, or third place. Listen, the bima seat was not a place to judge whether or not you qualified, but rather it was a place to celebrate the fact that you had finished the race. And because you were faithful, you would receive a reward for what you had accomplished. And so it's very important to understand that the judgment seat of Christ is not a place for the judgment of sins. Your sins as a believer have already been judged, and they have been forgiven. The price has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. Right. And so this is the place, the bema seat is where what we did on earth will be rewarded in heaven. Now you might be thinking and saying, you know, well, you're confusing me a little bit here, Andrew. I thought you said that we're not saved by works. True, we're not. You can't be religious enough. You can't try hard enough. You can't rid yourself of enough bad things. You can't even do enough good things. We are only saved by the grace of Jesus. And while we are saved by grace, though, listen, we will be rewarded for the things that we do. And the reality, want you to hear this morning. The reality is that when we've truly been transformed by Jesus Christ, we will begin to recognize the fact, God, I haven't really brought anything significant or of value to the table. All I am, Lord, and all I have is because of you. And when we recognize what Jesus has truly done for us and the change that he's made in our lives, the byproduct of that recognition is that we begin to live our lives for his glory, doing the things that please him. What you do now matters eternally because we will be judged and we will be rewarded accordingly. Let me share with you just a few things that we will be judged for. We'll be judged for how we treat people, how we cared for the outcast, how we cared for the poor, the broken, the marginalized, the hurting. Our motives will be judged. The words we speak will be judged. We'll be judged by how we endure suffering. We'll be judged by what we do, what we've done with our time, with our talent, and our treasure. Did we use our resources to be a blessing to others? Did we serve the body of Christ? Or did we hoard everything we have and push everyone away saying, no, 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 sorry, pastor, can't do that. I'm too busy. We will be rewarded for bringing people to Jesus. The Bible tells us that there is a crown for those who are soul winners. Imagine this. I want you to just close your eyes. Imagine this. One day, life will be over. Our physical body is going to cease to exist. And all the stuff we've accumulated on earth will be left behind. Listen, you can't take anything with you. And we will come before Jesus Christ. And I imagine when that moment happens, we won't even be able to stand. We'll fall to our knees before him. And then what he's going to do is he's going to take a crown and he's going to place it upon your brow saying, well done, my good and faithful servants. Well done. Well done, my son. Well done, my daughter. When you serve faithfully in kids' ministry, you made an eternal difference in their lives. I believe the stewardship of our lives, Jesus Christ is going to lay that before us, and we're going to be able to see the impact of all the places we've served. And he's going to say, you know what, Andrew? You didn't even know this, but many of the kids that you taught are here today because of what you invested in them. You were the brightest light in your workplace. When everyone else laughed at you, you were the one who was faithful. No one else saw the times that you could have taken the easy way out, but instead you chose to do what was right. Jesus is going to say to us, I was watching. You didn't have much, but you always gave. I was watching, and even when things were tight, you tithed in faith, believing that I was going to see you through. You always used what you had to meet the needs of other people. You shared your faith. I noticed your service. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Jesus, he's going to say to some of us, you visited me when I was in prison. You comforted me when I was sick. You gave me food when I was hungry. You gave me water to drink when I was thirsty and confused. We're going to step back and say, well, Jesus, when did I do those things? And he's going to respond, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. What we believe about eternity matters because it determines how we live and spend our time today. I want to be transparent this morning with you. When it comes to living for eternity, I don't always succeed. Yeah, I'm a pastor. And I work as hard as I can to faithfully fulfill the responsibilities of my position. But there's a life that I live apart from the duties of my job, and I'm not always as successful as I should be. I've mistakenly thought that the longer that I walk with Jesus, the easier it would be for me to be eternally minded. But what I failed to recognize is that there is an opposite opposing force, and that the longer I live here on earth, the more my roots tend to try to dig into the things of this world. And I find myself caring and I find myself pursuing way too much about meaningless things. While I'm on vacation, I'm already thinking of the next vacation, the next home we could buy, the next gadget. I find myself looking for validation on social media. I fall in prey to the comparison trap. I found myself caring more about what people think instead of being obsessed with what my Heavenly Father thinks. It disappoints me how long it's been since I personally led someone to faith in Jesus Christ. At times when I'm out in public or at gatherings, I've caught myself just wanting people to leave me alone. The more comfortable my life becomes, the more I crave the comforts of this world. And the more I crave comfort, the less I'm living for things that matter the most. And I hope my honesty doesn't disappoint you this morning, but I want to be truthful about the fact that we are all fighting against this gravitational pull towards the things in this world. I don't know if you've ever used a GPS back in the day before smartphones. You know, the cool people had a GPS in their car with a suction cup. I mean, how cool is a suction cup, really? But we thought we were cool, right? We got the GPS. Now we've got it on our phones. Some of us even have it in the screens in the car. We type it in to get directions to a place that we've never been before. But often what happens for me is in the confusion and in the chaos of a new location and in traffic patterns that I'm not familiar with, it's so easy, even with the voice speaking to you, to get off track. Anybody ever been there before? I'm not the only one, I know. And that's when the voice on the app says, recalculating. Recalculating. I can be moving towards the right destination, only to get distracted and find myself completely off course. And so it's essential that I allow the Holy Spirit to recalculate and recenter me. I have to break the roots, the love that I have for this world, so I can continue to live for the things that really matter. I want you to hear me this morning. One day, should the Lord tarry, your heart will beat for the last time. And at that point, there will be no do-overs. There won't be another Sunday service that you can walk down to an altar up front and make things right with Jesus over again. We must fight to keep the eternal goal in the front and center of our lives. Jesus, no matter how many days I have left here on earth, I want to use them on eternal things. My goal, Jesus, is to please you. If you find yourself today more concerned with this world, sports, shoes, the degree, the new house, popularity, the car, the next vacation, the new home, whatever it may, listen to me, whatever it may be, don't be deceived. Hear this simple-minded preacher this morning, those things will not last and those things do not matter. Let the Spirit of God recalculate and bring you back to spiritual center. You have one goal. All of us in this room, we have one goal, and that is to please God. This world isn't our final resting place. We are just passing through. As I close this message this morning, I'd love everyone to close their eyes, nobody looking around. I want to address those in this room who are believers. First, some of you, as I've been preaching, you've recognized that your roots have grown way too deep into the things of this world. And this morning, God wants to help you break this hold and help you become more eternally focused. If you've come to the Lifeway Church for any length of time and you've heard me speak before, you know that I don't ever use fear as a motivator. Listen, it's God's love, it's His kindness, His grace, and His goodness that draws us to Him. But hear me, I would be derelict in my responsibilities to you, the church, this morning to not share with you the totality of what's found in God's Word. There is coming a moment when Jesus is going to say to some people, possibly some of us in this room, get away from me, I don't even know you. And you might cry out, oh God, I went to the Lifeway, I listened to the podcasts, I tried to do good things, but still, He's going to say, I don't even know you. Listen, there are some believers in this room who should be at a place of maturity, but instead you have slipped back into immature behavior and immature thinking, and God is reaching for you, and He's calling for you today, saying it's time to recenter and recalculate. And if that's where you are, please don't walk out of this room without making things right with God. Now, there are others here in this room. You've never said yes to Jesus. You've never committed your life to Him. And the reason they call it the good news, the gospel, the good news, the reason it's so good is because Jesus did for us what we were unable to do for ourselves. And so in God's love for us, He robed Himself in flesh. He came to earth to pay the debt for our sins. He shed His innocent blood on the cross. He died in our place. He rose from the dead so that anyone, and this includes you and me, anyone who calls out on His name would be saved, forgiven, and transformed. So I want you to hear me. It doesn't matter how dark your life is. It doesn't matter how much you've done wrong, when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, He will forgive you. When you call on Him, you will become brand new. In fact, the scripture says that the old is gone and the new has come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you walk down here to the front by yourself. But if you're ready to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're ready to give control to Him, listen, don't wait. I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand right now? No one looking around. Is there anyone who'd say yes to Jesus? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see in the back. Thank you. Hands all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is so wonderful. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank You for the power of Your Word. And Lord, I thank You that You love us so much that You keep reaching and You keep stretching and you keep moving for us. And so, Lord Jesus, for those who raise their hand to say yes to You, Lord God, I pray right now that You would meet them at the place of their faith. Lord Jesus, we commit our lives to You. We commit to follow You, Lord God. Thank You for new life. Thank You for washing us clean, Lord God. Thank You for purifying our heart and soul. Lord, thank You for making me a new creation. Lord Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, for every believer. Lord, some of us have gone cold. Some of us have been pursuing things that just aren't going to last. And Lord Jesus, I pray just in Your gentle, kind way. Lord, You're not a God of condemnation, but Lord, it's Your grace that's reaching and it's Your grace that's stretching. And so Lord Jesus, right now we make the choice to move towards You. Oh Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us of our vain pursuits. Forgive us of all the things that we've chased after that one day aren't going to matter. And Lord Jesus, we commit all over again, brand new, to give our lives to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.